Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast. Episode 7, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, emanating from 23rd and Vine, which is actually on East Carson Street in the South Side. We want to thank Bob, Lou, and Ray for letting us hang out here in their wine cellar. So, guys, I got to tell you, Sheila, you hit a home run introducing us to Bob Cramner with the demon on Brownsville Road.
Did I make you afraid?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect what we got from him. If you want to check out episode 6, this tied in, Jimmy, your friend with the retired exorcist.
That's right. And as I said on your show yesterday, I don't get, like, God bless Bob for staying in the house. If a demon told me to leave the house, I'd leave the house.
I would have left.
I'd leave the house.
How would a Pittsburgh demon tell you to leave the
get
house?
Get out. First thing was get out. I'm at Larry's door going, Larry, can I stay here? Why? The demon kicked me out of the house. Said I'm too messy.
But
or
Bob's
whatever,
done but well out off of that book, and now there's a movie in the works.
Yeah,
so he
Jimmy,
did something right by staying.
I'm pushing for Jimmy to play The Exorcist.
Thank you. I know you are casting me. I appreciate it.
I'm really pushing this.
I would worry with. That's not like, you know, Bob's going to sit there and go, who's going to play him?
Yeah.
Because if it were me, I'd be worried, like, oh, they're going to find some little pudgy guy to play me because it'd be perfect. But I'd want like Liam Neeson or somebody, you know. So,
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. But I'm going to cast you out to hell or whatever.
Mark Ruffalo, maybe.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo. How about that? I like Mark Ruffalo. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, man.
And we welcome back Scott Mervis, who is the music critic, Post-Gazette for a few decades.
We'll carbon date your
hoodie to find out, but we wanted Scott to come back because there's some exciting music happenings coming.
I never said that this month.
No,
I swear
I'm saying
you did.
It. No,
wait.
I came on to tell you
of course
how dull
I wasn't
it's
here.
Gonna be.
Really?
No.
In that case, this segment
is over.
90 seconds in.
It was good.
Scott,
all right,
you'll
so
be on your way now.
There's one that I want to ask you about in detail. So what's the first November music performance that we can expect in Pittsburgh?
The first November
The first
one.
Big one in your mind.
Okay. Well, the last time I was here with Rich Angler, we were singing the praises of Mick Jagger. He had just been here.
Right.
Can I give you Bob Dylan?
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going 2 years older than Mick Jagger now.
He's
Bob Dylan.
80.
He's 80 years old.
He's
80?
You know,
the beauty of it, though, is he looked 80 at 60.
and he acted 80 at 40.
He has all of his hair, though.
Kind of
but
he does.
I saw that he was coming. We talked about this with Jim and the guys that went out to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They're pitching a film called The Gaslight Cafe, which was place in New York where really the footprint of NYU is, where they had in the 60s this back, it was like a speakeasy of the time. Yeah. And that's where Bob Dylan got his start.
Yes.
So we all thought it would be cool if we could go see Bob Dylan at RMU's UPMC Center on their campus in Moon. So I looked up interviews with Bob Dylan. You know what popped up?
Interviews.
The late Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes had a sit down with him about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And he said to him, Bob, you're one of the greatest poets, songwriters. What was the inspiration for your music? And you know what he said?
I don't know.
Wow.
He said,
wow.
I don't know where that came from. And he goes,
nailed it. Wait a minute. He said, you have no idea where those words came from. He goes, no. And he goes, I can't do it now either.
Yeah. I'm not going to do Bob Dylan, but he would always say that the songs are in the air, and okay. then he just pulls them out. Like, you know, they're blowing in the wind, right? And then he just grabs them. So he like channels these songs that are already out there.
What I want to know is why did he not get someone else to perform the songs for him, though?
Because he did. Well, there were a lot of people that performed Bob Dylan.
Jimi Hendrix.
A lot of people performed.
All Along the Watchtower. For years, I didn't realize Dylan wrote that song.
You know, it's funny.
Yeah, so many
artists.
The most covered artists of all time.
From the air, though, we were lucky enough. Larry and I were lucky enough to hang out with Smokey Robinson, right? So we're in his basement of his house.
Yes.
In his rumpus room. He lives in Pittsburgh area. But
yeah, Robinson, right?
Smokey Robinson was talking about his neighborhood. Remember, he said he walked into Marvin Gaye's house, and because that was his friend, he was chatting. He said he was playing, like, what's going on? He started, and he goes, who wrote that? And he goes, God wrote that, Smokey. God wrote that.
Yeah.
So I'm not that's, writing that's this song.
It comes kinda, from wherever. Yeah.
And Dylan.
But, whatever you believe.
So Dylan said that Smokey was the greatest poet of our generation.
Yeah, there is a quote of that,
right?
But I think that's a little bit there's a little bit contention around that quote.
What?
Why? I don't know that Bob Dylan actually said exactly what has been requoted.
Come
all
on,
these
man!
Years.
Don't burst our bubble.
No, there's a little
the
bit
truth.
Of a bubble to burst there.
Go ahead, because
burst.
You know what? I was writing something about Smokey, and I just Googled this whole quote recently. And it was slightly twisted around, and it wasn't clear whether he was being serious or not. Or next time I talk to Bob, which is
Are you gonna interview Bob?
I've never interviewed Bob.
Yeah, I'm a Murph.
The only time I ever met Bob was stalking him when I was a teenager at the Hilton Hotel, just waiting for him to walk into the hotel, which my friend and I managed to do, and just say hello to him, and then he just like
you did get to say hi.
What'd he say? Yeah. Hey!
Oh, I don't know that he said anything. He was like, I don't know. You know, he just kind of walked by us. We asked him to sign our ticket. I'm a little embarrassed. But
judging on the Bradley interview, though, I don't think he has a whole lot to say, though, in interviews, does he?
No, he speaks through his music.
Man, a few words.
But at 80, this probably will be his last trip through Pittsburgh. So if you had any hint of seeing music history... Are you going to be there?
We can't say last. We've been saying last time for so many people.
I know we did that for the Rolling Stones 30 years ago.
For all 17 decades of my career at the Post-Gazette, we've been saying this will be the last. We said, you know, when Mick Jagger was 45, this will be his last time.
But Mick is an energetic show.
I mean, Dylan might...
Mick has an energetic show. Bob doesn't. He can do it till 90.
He never did, yeah.
Right?
He never did.
Now, have you seen Dylan perform before? I assume you have.
Have I seen Dylan perform?
Yeah.
You just asked me that.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Probably about almost 25 times, maybe.
And can you understand word he's singing?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the warning I have to give about this show. And it's, what is it, November 15th at the UPMC. Dylan is good every other time I've seen him.
Which one are we on here? Every other time.
And he was really good the last time I saw him.
Okay. So maybe you should skip this one.
Why do you think that is?
Something about the two of us. I don't know.
He
knows
that
I'm
there. He sees you out there.
The
ticket.
Yeah. I don't know. But here's the thing about this tour. Here's the cool thing about Dylan. 80 years old. Last year during the pandemic, he put out his first album since 2012. It went number one in 10 countries. It was a really good. It was one of the most acclaimed albums of the year. And he rarely, whenever Dylan tours, you know how some artists, like, they play the new album.
Right.
Dylan doesn't, he's never done that. Like, he's never been like, I'm on tour with this album. I'm going to play this, you know, songs from this album. Sometimes he doesn't play any of them.
He mumbles the hits.
Well, not just the hits, but he's been doing a lot of his obscurities ever since, like, he started hanging out with the Grateful Dead.
Mm. Well, he did a whole series of gospel songs for a while.
Yeah, right, like around 1980. That was when he played the Stanley Theater for three nights in 1980.
I heard he was
in
the Thrasher band as well.
Well, he was with the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, yeah. But on this tour, he is actually playing songs from Rough and Rowdy Ways, which is, he opened the tour a couple nights ago. He did like four or five songs from the new album, which is pretty cool. So it'll be the first time for fans to see him do that stuff, which
is
good.
And that's the name of the tour, right?
Rough and Rowdy Ways.
And when is it again?
I don't know how rowdy it'll be.
November 15th.
Oh, you ready? 15th. I'll do my Jimmy Roach. Bob Dylan, RMU UPMC, Event Center, Moon Township.
It'll be Monday, November 15th. Tickets on sale now. No additional shows will be added.
They should have you introduce and bring him on.
That's Jimmy Rich.
With Sean McDowell.
All right, now I heard Kenny Chesney's coming back to Heinz Field next summer.
And he's bringing a garbage truck with him, I hear.
And he's bringing a Pittsburgh guy.
Dan and Shay.
Dan Smyers.
Who went to North Allegheny.
I can't figure out what neighborhood he grew up in because we're not allowed to say, Wexford? In the Post-Gazette, we're not allowed to use the term Wexford.
Why not?
Because it's not an actual place.
What do you mean? I live there.
Not like, we are not allowed to say that people are from Wexford. Rob's over here. He can attest to that.
It's just the mailing address.
It's just
right?
It's not a town. It's not a township.
Well, there's a little.
Is that right?
Yeah, really? There's. It's,
so you have to say
weird.
Ross or McCandless.
Pine Township.
If they're the mayor of Wexford, they're making it up then? They're not.
Yeah.
There's no mayor of Wexford. I can tell you that.
You could be the mayor of Wexford. You could just say you're the mayor of Wexford.
All right, so they're coming next June to Heinz Field. Any other highlights of shows coming? Yeah, you got a couple shows coming here?
Between now and June, there should be a couple things, yeah.
What do you got? You got that notebook.
For November.
You're sitting on your notebook.
Well, we got hung up on Bob Dylan. What can I say? November 10th, which is next week. I don't know when this podcast comes out, but next Wednesday, Gary Clark Jr. Tuesday. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Clark Jr.
Yes.
About the closest thing you get to a modern-day Jimi Hendrix, I would say.
He just can play.
Blazing guitar
player.
He's an
amazing
great
talent.
Singer, great writer. Just a hypnotic performer. Hmm. Awesome performer. The next night, Flaming Lips. This is both at Stage AE. Okay. Flaming Lips, who puts on one of the most colorful circus-like concert productions. He'll maybe go out in his hamster bubble over the crowd as he sometimes does.
Buy it a dollar for every time I've seen Jimmy do that.
That's how I close my show. The hamster bubble kills, brings people to their feet.
And the other thing I want to point out is that late in the month at Mr. Small's, there's a group of Pittsburgh guys and Rod Schwartz and the boys, all the guys from the Affordable Floors and 11th Hour, and they're going to do a tribute to the Clash and the Pretenders and the Jam and the Police, which is like an annual event where they play songs from all these great old punk new wave bands.
I've seen that show before the pandemic, obviously, but it is an incredible show.
Yeah.
These guys put on an amazing show. Highly recommend it.
People seems to me really anxious and starving to get out for entertainment, too, because you get a really ripe audience that seems fan friendly. You've experienced that with your show.
Absolutely. The crowds are excited to come back, and it's fun seeing. Don't have to wear masks. It's awesome.
Also, they just announced Light Up Night. And at Light Up Night, there's going to be a tribute to the Beatles by some of those same Mr. Smalls people I would met. You know, they do this, like Pittsburgh does the Beatles. Pittsburgh plays McCartney.
Okay.
So they're going to do the Beatles at Light Up Night.
Light Up Night has changed this year. So what's the date again on Light Up Night now?
It's November 20th. This is the first time on a Saturday night.
Oh.
Okay, it's a Saturday night Light Up Night.
We got some great talent in Pittsburgh. There's some talented musicians and singers. It's kind
of
cool.
Unsung. Much of it unsung.
All right.
Except for Dan Smyers, who will be opening for Kenny Chesney on
from Wexford.
I am the mayor of Wexford.
All right. Look for Scott Mervis in the mosh pit at Bob Dylan November 15th. Otherwise,
gladly.
And maybe, you know, your birthday isn't soon, is it?
Because
I don't want any Greek orgies going on out there.
Yeah, we're going to snort. We're gonna
like
snort,
my last one?
We'll snort Metamucil with Bob Dylan backstage.
All right, read about it. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Scott Mervis. Scott, appreciate you coming over. We know you got to get back to work.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Thanks, Scott. Sorry to ruin your day.
You're listening to...
They don't even know I'm gone right now.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. We got Rob Rogers coming, our Yinzer partner and outstanding political cartoonist. And coming up next, you'll meet the woman behind Yinzer Good. This is Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, emanating once again from 23rd and Vine, East Carson Street, Southside. And we always appreciate Bob Bozzelli. It's really Buzzelli in Italian. Yes. And Louis Caputo.
Louis.
And then there's the third Italian, Ray Sefcik. Maybe he's not Italian, but we appreciate their allowing us to do this in their wine cellar, which is a great place near the Birmingham Bridge if you get a chance. And we're finding opportunities to introduce you to some amazing people in the region. Yinz Are Good, the woman behind it, is Tressa Glover, Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
How did our producer, Dick Roberts, lure you into the basement here?
Yeah. I don't know if I should talk about that. That might be between
unfiltered.
Yeah. Oh, it is unfiltered. Well,
but I heard you say you've been part of that great show that they do every year called Off the Record.
Yes.
Which they get Ken Rice and all these media people to kind of spoof our local elected officials.
It's so good. And he's hilarious. Ken Rice is hilarious.
Oh, he's good.
Oh my gosh.
I used to anchor with Ken back at WTAE. Very few people remember that.
That's right.
It was a very short-lived little six-month thing where he and I anchored together, and he was the funniest man.
Doesn't he look like George Clooney a little bit?
He does a little bit.
Cool.
He's
very cool.
You know what's funny is I've seen that off the record, Larry and Rob, it's amazing how funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, major league funny.
The people you don't expect to be that funny.
I mean, these guys, I know them, but I'm saying, like you said, like Ken Rice or an anchor or somebody. Mm-hmm. Wow, the timing and everything and the writing is amazing.
And it's hilarious because the amount of rehearsal time,
is not long?
Oh, no. Well, technically the rehearsal period is long, but the actual amount of time, there have been many times where we have one tech rehearsal at the Byam. Otherwise, we're rehearsing on the West End at PMT. But there have been times at that tech when we're like, oh, nice to meet you. You're in the show, too?
Wow.
Because it's like a four-week period, but everyone's volunteering their time. And it's, of course, we all, you know, try to be there whenever we can. But with everybody's schedule, sometimes you're meeting people, you know, a day or two before the show. Like, oh, hey, cool. You're in this number, too?
And it comes together.
It's beauty and the magic.
It's annual in early fall, right?
Yes. First week of October, usually. The last 2 years have been virtual. So they had us. My husband does them as well, and they had us do, there's always a big opening number, and so they actually asked some of us, they send us a verse, and they send us the instrumental, and so we have our little earbuds in, and we record ourselves with our verse, wherever we can do it, and they edit and piece it all together so you can watch it, you know.
I hear it's great. I haven't seen the virtual one, but in the past, they're very entertaining. Meanwhile, how did this come about for you? How did you get involved in Off the Record, and what have you been doing your whole life?
Oh, my. I'm on for an hour and a half, right? Okay, so first, I was born.
Don't worry, we interrupt a lot.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, wait, I'm Italian-Irish. I grew up that way. It's all interruptions.
Italian-Irish. That's fascinating.
I am. Very Pittsburgh.
It is very Pittsburgh.
Combo there. Mm-hmm. So I'm an actor, is my thing. So I went to Penn State. Can I say that? Is that all right?
Sure. Penn State.
It's okay.
I also like Pitt. I don't have a problem with Pitt now. But I went to Penn State and I studied theater there. And then I was in New York for a while in Chicago and made my way back to Pittsburgh. And so I do a lot of theater at the Public, City Theater, you know. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say too, because I told you we'd be interrupting.
Of course.
You come across as very theatrical. You have that amazing face. This is, of course, a podcast, but you have those bright eyes and that resonant
voice. There is a camera.
Well, we do have a camera on, too, but most people will be listening to this. But you just ooze theatricality and, like,
oh my goodness.
I'm an actress.
Theatricality.
I like that. Is that a word?
Well, if it's not a word, it is now.
You say it so eloquently. It is a word when you say it. So you're like,
aww,
do you do film
you
also
that.
And everything?
I do. You do everything? I've gotten more into film the last few years, and even over the pandemic, I was able to do Archive 81, which was a Netflix show that was here.
Okay. Yes.
And then two episodes of A League of Their Own.
Oh, great.
Okay. I did that.
That's going to be
both
coming
of those,
out.
I'm a bad guy, which I've never gotten to do in my life. And I can't say any more than that.
But it
was so
fun to be a bad guy.
Totally fun.
When is that coming out? The League of Their Own Pittsburgh version.
There were some stops and starts. I mean, with all of them, with COVID, sometimes there would be we'd have to take a break. But they were League of Their Own was scheduled July through October, and I know that it got bumped a bit, so I don't actually know for either one.
So a lot of productions in Pittsburgh still?
Still.
Good.
Oh, yeah, there's a few right now. There's all, yeah.
Let me put you on the spot with Jim sitting here.
Uh-oh.
Could Jim be the exorcist in Bob Cramner's movie, The Demon on Brownsville Road?
Does he have takes?
Larry's my agent.
I'm going to get you this gig, Jim.
I'd like to see him read. I would not. I would say yes to that.
Ooh. Well, you're assuming. Okay. What would you say as the extra?
There's a demon in your house. You gotta get out or stay. It's up to you. If you fire me, I go.
See, I cast you on that.
But if I go to a movie, it's only 2 minutes. So stay.
And that's real good. You did real good.
Thank you.
That is really good.
That's how. That better be the. That better be the voice now, because you've set the bar has been set very high.
If they want this movie to win, they got to have Jim as the exorcist doing a Pittsburgh priest.
I think it has to be. I think so.
And we have to get Tressa a role, too. What role would you play? Maybe Bob's wife?
Sure.
You could be the wife. Terrified wife.
Terrified wife.
Can you do a terrified wife? Come on, give us a little preview. What would you do? What would you say?
Oh, no. Also Pittsburghese, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Stay in character.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is real scary. That thing just keeps coming out and coming out. I'm real scared.
That's good. That's really great.
The writing, that was fabulous.
That was
fabulous
good.
Script work there, I did. Thing,
I'll tell you what. I got this. Sheila, maybe we could get roles in this thing. You could be the reporter.
Hello.
I'll be the guy on the radio that they're listening to.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Get out.
Wouldn't it be cool, like crying at the Academy Awards? And I thank Larry Richard.
Who got me this role?
I didn't believe in myself, but Larry believed in me. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Demon. All right. All right. So,
Tressa, tell us about Yins Are Good. So, being an actress and a performer, you came up with this idea when?
I did. So I started thinking about it. I'm going to go with the end of 2019. So pre-pandemic, I just started having the idea of creatively what was happening is I think I was feeling like I wanted to do something different and something more, and I didn't quite know what that meant. And just always staying open to, because I ended up, my husband and I have a theater company also. It's been on hiatus, but so I've been a producer, and so I'm always remind myself to stay open to that, of new things and new, that one path that you're on, there's so many, right? So I was like, what about a podcast? And I listen to podcasts, but I listen to true crime podcasts is my thing.
A lot of people do.
Which Yins Are Good is not. But I listen to them, I'm like, you know what could it be? And I was thinking about storytelling, and I was thinking about, especially speaking of my families that I come from, it's many stories.
Italian-Irish.
I mean,
we have a lot of good
that's
stories.
All we do.
What part of Tan?
El Partan. I'm from... No, I grew up in Allison Park. You mentioned that earlier.
It doesn't
Hampton.
Exist, right?
I went to Hampton.
That was a question.
I went to St. Ursula grade school.
St. Ursula. I went to Alpha, Providence Heights Alpha, which was a little Catholic school on La Roche's campus.
Yeah, I know. I know where it is.
That's where I went. But my parents were from Penn Hills. They both went to Penn Hills, like Oakmont, Verona, Penn Hills.
How the hell?
Bloomfield
through
originally.
And through,
so Yins Are Good is about Yinzer. Storytelling?
Like, well, like the mosque or something? I started and I was thinking, and I wanted to be something about Pittsburgh, and I thought, what if it's people sharing stories of like good things happening? And then the pandemic started, because I was still thinking about it. I said, okay, it's time. With everything going on at that time, let's get the good news out there, the good stuff out there that people are doing, and how can I do that? So I started Yins Are Good, and that's how it evolved.
I think it's brilliant because, thank you. You know, when you hear something good, you feel good. Good vibes. So it's true, right?
That's the goal. Yeah.
Every self-help coach says that. So that's
where. And even from like unknown places, or these, and I try to focus too on moments of kindness. You know, because there's no such thing as a small one, right? Because you never know how it affects.
So who are your guests? Yeah. Who do you bring on? How do you find out about their stories?
Well, this is the thing, so it's been just over a year. I do the podcast every 2 weeks because it's literally a one-woman show. It's me and my dog sometimes is there when I'm recording. It's wonderful, the two of us. We have, people can email me or email us at yinsaregood.com or leave a voicemail. I have a toll-free number where people can call and tell a story. So that's part of it is, and it can be anything that has changed your life. I've heard things, you know, I've gotten wonderful stories that, you know, sometimes people will say, I have something, but I don't know if it's like big enough or important enough. I'm like, stop. There's no such thing. It's whatever it is. Because sometimes if someone makes you smile on a day that you really thought you couldn't smile that day, that can change. That changes your day.
Sure does.
So there's
don't
big
you
things
find, Tressa, too, that everybody has a story? I mean, everybody. You walk along the street and you talk to a stranger. Everybody has a fascinating story to tell if you just pull it out of them.
What's that number?
So you do that.
And listening to each other. If we really listen, and then we also find this common ground, because we're really, I believe, a lot more alike than we are different. And how do we learn that? By asking each other, sometimes, like, what's your story? But listening, and really, it is 1-833-399-GOOD.
1-833-399-GOOD. Jimmy, write that down.
Man, I gotta,
you got to leave.
I hope you're recording that, Tress.
Oh,
you,
my gosh.
Because you've got to put that on your voice.
You got to leave a message as the exorcist.
Oh, and I'll play it.
These are good. Don't be bad.
Yin's got to be real good.
I absolutely love that.
We're going to turn that Demon of Brownsville Road into a comedy.
It's going to be a skit.
Instead of it might be the way.
You should do once a month a Yin's are bad episode.
I thought about, or Yin's ain't good. That was my
Yin's ain't good.
Once in a while.
No, it would have to be.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Yin's are good. And you want to make, if you have the polar opposite,
right.
Yin's ain't no good.
Oh, Yin's ain't no good. You got to put the no in
that.
Yin's
ain't no good.
Also an at.
But I heard the University of Pittsburgh, in an effort to be inclusive of everyone, they're saying, don't say ladies and gentlemen.
No.
They're saying,
what do we
use Yin's.
What?
I sent you guys that story.
Oh, officially, say Yin's.
Yes.
What?
I'm not kidding. That's a fact.
So you say Yin's.
It's permissible now at that level.
Thank God.
To greet people with Yin's.
How about y'all? No. Now, I lived in the Southwest for a while, and you pick that up real
Southwestern
quickly.
Southwestern PA?
Y'all. Well, no. Southwest United States. Oklahoma.
Low South Park, Larry.
But, that's hard to get rid of. Y'all. Nice. Yeah. Now, it went from y'all to, after I moved to Pittsburgh, you all. You all.
That makes sense.
But I think that's nice. It has a nice ring to it. It's not the same as Yin's, but it has a nice ring to it.
They've done forensic studies, dialect studies on why we talk the way we do in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes,
and,
I actually, part of it, I actually know. So part of this is the Scots-Irish were the first Europeans to settle here. And when you think about a lot of that, of the Yinzer dialect, if you think of the sound of it and kind of the cadence of it, you can hear if you think of Scots-Irish or that lilt to it. But it's also because so many immigrants, when they were coming here to work in the mills, were learning English from each other, and everybody had their own dialect as they were learning English. And so it kind of all started blending together. And even, for example, nebby, one of my favorite Pittsburgh words.
That's a great one.
I guess I've heard it from two sources, so I would like to check for more. No, but that's actually a word used in Scotland that means nosy.
Oh.
So that literally could have been directly pulled from there.
So it's not really a Pittsburgh word. We can't claim
it's because of those Scots.
We share it.
Do you do an accent, a Scottish accent?
I can not Scottish is very difficult for me. I don't even think I could try.
You play the bagpipes.
Try us out. What can you do? Give us an accent. How about a British accent?
Yes.
Oh, sure. I can do British. Or I can do Southern. Southern is,
Southern's
good. But it depends which part.
So you can do a good y'all.
I do a y'all, you know.
Jim can do Scottish.
Well, I just did
Scottish.
Don't be nebby, Larry. Don't be nebby.
It's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
That's good to do, though.
Yeah.
I did. May I want to add something? Because when you're asking, like, who's on the show? Also, because I have to say, it also morphed into, I interview organizations and groups all over the city who are doing really good things.
Oh,
and I'd had that idea in the beginning, and then it's now every episode, there's at least one or two. And they're usually nonprofits, but don't have to be.
Right.
But just people who are just doing incredible things right here in Pittsburgh, helping. And every week, I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I not know about these people?
You know, we are nice people.
This guy does more
charity.
Generally.
But that's what I mean.
Would we qualify, Tressa? I mean, we're doing good things, aren't we? Don't answer
that. We have
that.
To work
I'll get back to you. I'll have my people look into it. But no, it is. And that's what's been, to me, getting to meet, because it's all, until recently, been over the phone, just, you know, recorded calls, and meeting these people and getting to go to some of their functions as it opens up more. But it's just, and when you hear, and so many too, what I'm so inspired by is when you hear their stories, and when so many of these people who started these organizations, it was one person, and it usually came out of a really difficult time in their life.
Right.
And they figured out, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to pull people with me who need the same help. And how can I? So it wasn't even just about how do I help myself. It's also, if this is happening to me, it's happening to other people. And how can I help everybody else? And it's just,
I like it.
Well, look at you. She's good.
Yeah, you
it's
are.
It's nice. It's a nice white.
We're bad. She's good.
You know, trying to get it out.
Hey,
good.
Don't include me.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, thank you.
I meant me and the Exorcist.
Are you starting to get a following now?
Yes, we are. I think we're still, definitely. I mean, I think, let's see, about 3,500 plays, 32
good.
Episodes. So that's pretty good for something that's
excellent.
Pittsburgh. You know, when you're, you know, that's the one thing out there. It's Yin's are good. So, you know, kind of might shrink it.
Well, after you're on this podcast, I'm sure you'll get at least another three more.
That would be the three of us. Tressa Glover, the woman behind Yin's are good. Look for her in A League of Their Own, yeah, and other stuff. And they did a great article on you at the Post-Gazette. So check that out. Nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you.
Please,
thanks for coming, Tressa.
Thank you.
Please keep Jim in mind for a role in the future.
We got this Bob Kramer role. We're going to get it.
I mean, it's a done deal.
This is Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. We got the great Rob Rogers, political cartoonist extraordinaire, standing by, and he'll be sitting shortly. You're listening to Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and we appreciate you tuning in. We want to introduce you to a man who really doesn't need any introduction unless you don't know him.
And we'll give you one anyway.
But I'm pretty sure you know his work, even if you don't know him. Rob Rogers spent three decades as the political cartoonist, the Post-Gazette. He's penned books. I hate to say written books because it's your artwork, and right, you have to be funny and gifted in the way you present your stuff. And there's such a cool vibe to what you do, Rob, that I know the three of us are big fans. So the great Rob Rogers.
Thank you.
Yes,
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks for being here.
Jimmy?
And may I say, also, a great performer. It was one of those surprise performances way back in the Night of the Singing Dead.
That's right.
With Carl.
I saw that. You guys are fantastic, man.
And Rob, you know, I only knew him as an artist and political cartoonist, but I didn't know you had this singing ability.
Wait, I do, actually. When I was in grad school, I paid my way by singing in bars, I used to do covers.
Really?
No, I'm not, actually.
You serious? No idea.
No, I made a lot of money.
I've known you for what, 15
and then
years
actually,
and learn an album
you
show?
Two should start a duet, because Jim is singing now.
Jim has launched his career.
I'm a little worried about that.
You got new song in the band now, me and Larry. Sheila, we got to bring you in, too.
Yeah, we'll have to play the tambourine.
Okay.
No, but I picked up the guitar when I was in college, and just, you know, I'm not great at the guitar, but I think I have a bit of a voice
was
that
it
I
like
can
folk kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I would do Neil Young and Eagles.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah.
James Taylor.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're amazing,
Rob. I'd love to hear it, man. That'd be so cool. That's a podcast. We're gonna Rob with the guitar.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We can do that.
Grad school. That's how you got to Pittsburgh, is coming to school, right?
Right, exactly. So this is an interesting story. I forgot about Sheila being in Oklahoma, but I was there for 10 years. My dad got a job at the hospital there, university, and he's a pulmonary physician. And when I moved there, I was in eighth grade. So and I lived there until I graduated college, and then he moved to Pittsburgh with my two brothers and my stepmom, and so I followed him out here to go to CMU to get an MFA in painting. So,
what's an MFA?
I thought I might be a real artist.
That's how that's how dumb I am. You
know, Larry, a master's of fine arts.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh,
No, master's of fine arts.
Carnegie Mellon. That's so
that's
prestigious,
big time, man.
Yeah. That's the big time.
Yeah, it is.
So they recognized your talent early on.
They did. They did. Although, I will say this, that I did apply there as an undergrad, like halfway through my college career, because they moved while I was in college and said, oh, there's this great school here in Pittsburgh. You should apply. And I would have lost like a year and a half because I would have had to start out as a freshman. But I thought, all right, I'll try just for my dad. You know, I didn't get in. No, I didn't get in as an undergrad because my stuff wasn't good enough. I mean, that's how tough it was.
Okay.
I came out for a summer to visit them before my senior year, and I took some classes at CMU, so I got to know the professors, and, you know, it's all about who you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I went back sort of inspired to do better work, and I did these big 8-foot paintings on Masonite. And then, because I knew them, I got in for graduate school. But I wasn't good enough to get in as an undergrad. So that tells you.
And it's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then how did you end up in the Post-Gazette?
Well, so all along, even in college and high school, and, well, since I was a little kid, I did cartoons. I drew cartoons. So when I got to graduate school, I didn't tell them I was a cartoonist because they sort of looked down on that, you know, and I didn't want them to know. But as I was getting ready for my master's show and I was sort of finalizing everything, I thought, well, you know, I still love cartooning. I want to try it. And so I went to the CMU paper. They had already had you know, a dozen cartoonists that were doing comic strips and things like that. So they didn't really have room for a political cartoonist. So I went over to the Pitt News. So I was the cartoonist for a semester for the Pitt News, editorial cartoonist. They had a guy doing local stuff for the campus, you know, and then I was doing national stuff. And that's how the Pittsburgh Press at the time,
right?
They saw my stuff in the Pitt News, and they said, give us a call. And so that's how it happened.
And under that umbrella, you created Brood on Grant Street, which Brood on Grant, which was so popular because you have an incredible way of skewering people with art. Right. And that's such a talent.
And the best part about it is the reason I'm such a big fan of Rob's, it's to me, it's not mean. Mm-hmm. It's just funny. And there's a realness to it, the honesty or whatever makes you laugh, and that's comedy. That's the purest form of comedy.
I still remember when I came on your show on DVE and early on, you know, before I really knew you that well, and you said, man, the way you draw that guy, that Pittsburgh guy that comes into the diner, you know, you were like, that's it, that's him, that's it.
You nail it, man.
That's the guy.
That's somebody Jim knows very well.
Yeah, right. Very impressed. Yeah, yeah.
But
it captured it, man.
It really resonated. And, of course, you've been published in national publications all along. I remember seeing your stuff in magazines. And as we are, before I even
back
knew
when there
you,
were magazines.
Yeah, you know? Remember magazines? Yeah,
right. Paper.
And you would say, hey, that guy's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know where you were from, but the fact that you were our guy. I mean, you've been here long enough where you've become a Yinzer.
Yeah, I was born in Philadelphia, lived there till I was 14, and then, like I said,
Oklahoma.
Detour through Oklahoma. Yeah.
I didn't know the Oklahoma part.
Yeah, I didn't know the singing.
So
actually, that's where I picked up the guitar. So I had a lot of friends who did, you know, Willie Nelson and, you know, that kind of stuff. So
when I had a TV show, when I first got to KDKA, Rob was a guest, and, you know, he was famous then, and the producer was Roger Shepard. He
was
in
famous.
You're in the paper.
I was in the paper
big time. Yeah, paper. I mean, let's be honest.
Everybody knew Rob Rogers and still does. Yeah.
And my producer was a fan. Roger Shepard was his name, and he was also a drummer in the Spuds.
Oh, I know the Spuds. Sure, I've been.
And
I've been
he was
a
big fan
times.
Of yours. He goes, "Hey, I booked Rob Rogers for the show, and you came on, and
that's
Sophie Maslow
was
the
press.
Mayor." Yes, yeah. And you drew some stuff right there on the set and gave me autograph that I kept it. I have it.
Yeah, they're all like aged.
No. These are all good. The only thing was his sense of humor. He said, "Your mom stopped watching. 50% of your audience is gone."
You missed the joke. The lead in is, we lost 50% of your audience share. Your mom stopped watching.
Come up with this stuff. I mean, do your eyes just, are your thoughts, your ideas just come to you like that, or does it take a while?
Are you going to say like Dylan?
Does it have to grow on Grant Street?
Who knows? Come out of the air.
No, really, because you have the artistic talent, and I'm looking at this Yinzer on a shelf. This is incredible what you've done with these cards, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But to take the humor and combine the two, and then the political skewering that you're able to do is pretty incredible.
You know, the humor was early. Like when I was a kid, I could look back at my cartoons that I drew as a kid and see that I had a sense of humor and I had some comic timing. Mm-hmm. But then when I got into college, then they, you know, they asked me if I wanted to be the editorial cartoonist. This was at OSU, was the first school that I went to, Oklahoma State. So, you know, I was like, I don't know how to do political cartoons, but then I learned, you know, you sort of learn as you go. And I remember thinking when I got to Pittsburgh, I remember the editor said, well, you're going to have to, you know, I'd only been here 2 years at CMU. And so he's like, you got to learn all about Pittsburgh. So that's what I did. But in terms of coming up with jokes, you know, I think it's things that I feel are funny. They don't just come to me. I have to work at it. And like Jimmy will tell you about writing comedy, you know, I have my sketchbook, and you can look at my sketchbook. Sometimes it has, like, you know, lots of stuff written out that are crossed out and starting over. But oftentimes I can see a visual. I can see sort of what's funny about it. And then when you have people like, you know, like Sophie Maslow or, you know,
characters
that you can rely on, you can go back to that well again and again, like with Luke Ravenstahl. You know, I made him the six-year-old boy that would come into the diner and he, you know, he would drink from a juice box, you know, and like that idea came to me because at first I was going to have him drinking a milk carton because he's too young to drink coffee, right? So I had the milk carton sort of sketched in, and then I went to lunch, and I was walking in to get a coffee after lunch, and this woman was coming into the coffee shop. I held the door for her, and I was thinking about the cartoon. I was like, it's not quite right, and she had a kid in a stroller, you know, her son, and she brings him in and says, honey, do you want your juice box now or do you want it later? And I was like, ding. I was like, juice box, that's what he's got to have. And then it became a thing, you know, and everybody loved it.
I love that stuff. And so how this all happened, Sheila, with Jimmy, Rob, and I, Dick, we were doing a spaghetti breakfast fundraiser for the Little Sisters of the Poor. Mm-hmm. Jimmy came. Jack Bogut came, who was my predecessor. He was the guy before the guy I replaced, the late John Cigna. And Dick Roberts says, do you think you could introduce me to Jim Crenn? Like, and I told Dick, I said, he's very hard to approach. But let me try. He thinks he's an exorcist. So I introduced Dick, and he starts talking to us about these Yinzer greeting cards. And I'm thinking of all the harebrained things people have pitched us.
Yeah.
We're thinking greeting cards, and then we thought about it because Jim has a wonderful sense of humor and the Yinzer brand, since we're both natives. And so we thought, well, we got to get an artist, and we need somebody who has an iconic look that would be a brand for everything we do in the Yinzer
line.
But
when you couldn't get him, you said, so, hey, what about Rob?
Well, Rob and I were friends for a while, and he always would help me out and do shows. Even when I had podcasts, and Rob was always just loyal and just no question. Anytime I say, Rob, you help me out, come on, yeah. But we do in front of live audience these shows, and he gets huge laughs, you know, in front of the audience. That to me is a comedian. That's something.
Remember when we did a podcast where I actually showed my cartoons?
Yes, and we were at Brickalog.
And I was like,
it was
but
cool.
It's a podcast.
Yes. Looking at, but and I always, then I just tortured him, man. I would call all the time and leave messages on ideas.
That's
great, Jim, because I always wanted to work with him. And now here we get to, I get to work
that's
with
right.
him.
So we asked Rob, and, you know, so we're the four guys behind the Yinzer brand. So we have the greeting cards, and it's absolutely the latest is Yinzer Elf on a Shelf.
He's watching you.
Santa sent me down here to make sure Yin's kids ain't rooting for Cleveland. Merry Christmas.
So between Jimmy and Rob, so fries on everything, a Yinzer cookbook, gum bands, Stellar's are number one, eggnog, and that.
Yep.
Rob just
did you ladies see these? These are hot off the press. By the way, available at your favorite Giant
and
Eagle Hallmark stores.
And then we got into the chocolate business, too. Yeah.
We got the chocolate bars.
I got Sarah's chocolate. Last week, Rob, mm-hmm. and it didn't last.
It didn't taste
building.
As funny
no, it
as it looks.
Yeah, we want to
save it as the inaugural candy bar, you know, for the next 50 years, but it just didn't make it.
The thing I love about Rob in doing these with us, we do these, Lair, is you get ideas and stuff. We always brainstorm ideas. But I'm intrigued on how Rob will take an idea, and he'll, you know, it's most of his original, but he'll edit something.
Right.
Like, I might have an idea, but you'll know how to do it visual, where I don't know how to do it visual. Like.
Yeah, so Jimmy came up with the idea of, be sure to leave a parking chair for Santa, mm-hmm. you know, and... But he didn't visualize it on the roof, and right. I thought it's got to be on the roof.
That's perfect.
Yeah. See, he does it all the time.
So I took that idea, and
I'll say something that's too long, and he'll say, no, you could do this, and it's an editing in his mind. So yeah, it's a nice, it's just a fun.
Yeah,
it's
a fun
project.
I've had to fix a few of your near rhymes that didn't work.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
It's a process.
It's a process.
Hey, I studied at CCAC when you were at CMU, buddy. Give me back.
I'm just kidding.
But I want to also recognize, Jim, we always wanted to have a philanthropic attachment to everything we do. So Jim said, hey, what about Animal Friends? You've been with them for over 30 years. So portion of the proceeds go to Animal Friends, and they're on the back of every card, and they've been great partners with us since the beginning. And then we have the Sarah's Candies with Spencer's Voice, which deals with opioid addiction and overdose, which is such an important thing. Mm-hmm. So we're always trying to connect somewhere in the community. I'm pretty proud of that part, too.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Because if people think Yin's getting rich doing this, and the answer is no.
There's so much Yin's and stuff out there. It's fun to have something where we feel it hits a real chord, real Pittsburgh.
So what's next for Rob Rogers? I know you've been working on some things.
Well, I'm still doing political cartoons every day, and I'm syndicated. If you go to my website, robrogers.com, you can see all the social media places. You can follow me or whatever. But I just got back from D.C. last weekend, where I was presented at the Library of Congress with the Herblock Award, which is a editorial cartoonist's award.
That's cool.
For best editorial cartoons of the year.
Wait a minute. Wow, this is like an Academy Award for what you do.
Actually, that was my joke. I said it's the Academy Award for editorial cartooning, and I showed like the statue. And then I said, but ours would be much funnier, and it's an exaggerated like cartoon character, you know.
Did they give you an actual look award to hold?
Oh, yeah, there is. It's a big, giant pen nib that's made by Tiffany's. Like,
really?
So it's like, and they give you a case for it. Because
you're so humble, man. I've been carrying that around.
Yeah. Congratulations.
You do what you love day in and day
and
out.
It's
a blast. Yeah.
We feel certain that Jimmy at some point will accept an award similar for being a exorcist in this movie.
I'd carry my award around.
A Yinzer exorcist.
Yeah, yeah. We love working with you, Robin. It's just, you know,
oh, no, it's been such a fun project to work with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, and we're very blessed to be able to do the things that we liked each individually, collectively work together too.
Yeah.
So. Thanks, Rob Rogers. Check him out.
Hey, bud,
and check out his website. Check out his work with our Yinzer greeting cards.
Congratulations
and
on
candies and
thank you.
Yinzer foods and shirts and Sheila.
Oh, just happy to see you again, Rob.
Good to see
Keep
you.
Doing what you're doing.
Jimmy, one
Go
more time.
Rest.
I need a little.
Get out of my house, you demon.
Get away now.
I am going to make
Goodbye.
This happen.
In the name of Chuck Knoll and Jack Lambert, get out of my house.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and again, thanks, Rob Rogers. Go to Audacy. It's a free app, AUDACY, or go to KDKRadio.com. Episode 7, or is it 8, in the books?
We've lost track.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.